Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
So a cleric in the Iranian regime told his followers that the COVID-19 vaccination turns people into homosexuals, which is punishable by death in Iran. Ayatollah, I think that's the top cleric in Iran, if I recall correctly. Yeah. Abbas Tabrizian made the outrageous claims Tuesday on the social media platform Telegram, according to the Jerusalem Post. He said, "Don't go near those who have had the COVID vaccination. They have become homosexuals." Tabrizian, who lives in the religious capital of Qom and whose followers refer to him as Ayatollah, has a history of promoting bigotry and false information about Western medicine. Last year, the totalitarian burned Harrison's Manual of Medicine in a videotaped ceremony, claiming that Islamic medicine had made such books irrelevant. According to a Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty broadcast service, like other clerics in the region, also Tabrizian relates, this is clearly translated, he relates all of these shortcomings to sexuality, said a dissident. The clerics in Iran are suffering from a lack of knowledge and humanity. Actually, his goal of spreading nonsense is to try to scare people out of getting vaccinated. While the leader of the regime and other officials got the Pfizer vaccination, and they don't provide it to the people with the excuse that they don't trust the West.
Hold on. So the regime leaders got the vaccine, but they're also saying it makes you gay?
It's not that different from Donald Trump and some of the extravagant claims that he's made, but Americans won't see that.
What has he made? What extravagant claims? Just curious.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. But,
okay.
But, I mean, he has certainly made extravagant claims.
He's never said he wants to put gay people to death, though. He hasn't said that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's not an extravagant claim. That's a grotesque abomination of a statement.
Okay.
Extravagant claim would be something like, oh, yeah, we didn't land on the moon or whatever. Mm. You know, just something nonsensical that Trump believes. I mean, he was retweeting some QAnon people at some point, so he certainly made some ridiculous allegations.
Man, I gotta say, I miss Trump's tweets.
I do too. I don't think he's
Isn't
ever
that a
coming
sad
back
thing
to
say?
He was entertaining.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden so far has not been entertaining.
Like, I don't care about what they're doing in D.C., but I am curious, like, what would Trump be saying right now if he still had access to social media about, apparently they're like putting him on trial now in the Senate. So that whole part of the impeachment procedure has begun. So I'm like, we don't get to hear what he has to say, which is a bummer.
His lawyer came out and said that he's not getting due process. So we know he'd be saying that.
I think that there was a story a long time ago. I mean, I recall several years ago hearing that Tesla, at least some dealers were accepting it.
Really?
So even if the mother company wasn't accepting at the time, I think there were some of the dealers that were.
Well, hopefully we'll see more. And, you know, Chevrolet and all of these other companies beginning to accept cryptocurrency. And, hey, maybe even McDonald's one day will accept Bitcoin.
You never know. I mean, you know, PayPal just came on board late last year. You got Tesla coming on board. Tesla's one of the top five corporations in the United States as far as their market cap is concerned. So that's bigger than Walmart. Yeah. If Tesla says they're going to take crypto, that is actually, I mean, it's not big in the same way in that Walmart's got way more locations and more people work for it and that sort of thing. But as far as a major company accepting Bitcoin, that's probably the largest announcement we've seen so far.
Excellent. I hope it only continues because it's only going to drive the value of Bitcoin up because it's becoming more and more useful.
It is, even though it's not that useful in general because,
well, if you're going to buy a $50,000 car, a $50 transaction fee isn't that big a deal.
No big deal. Yeah, no doubt about that. But it's still disappointing to see how just expensive these transaction fees are. I mean, they were $20 fees yesterday on Bitcoin for what they call the next block, which for listeners that don't know, that's to get your Bitcoin transaction processed and confirmed within the next 10 minutes or so. That's what it costs.
$20 is not steep.
With it going up in popularity, does that mean that the fees might go lower or get higher?
They're going to likely get higher. I was mentioning earlier, Ammon Bundy is the son of Cliven Bundy, or one of the sons of Cliven Bundy, that was in the news most of a decade ago for having a standoff with the federal government over the Bureau of Land Management. Then a few years later, Ammon Bundy and some of his crew went and took over the Malheur Federal Wildlife Refuge.
Oh, these events were years
which
apart?
Was in Oregon, yes. These were years apart. I believe it was 2016 when they did the Malheur Wildlife Refuge takeover. That actually resulted in one man being shot to death by the police in that particular situation. And it was fairly dramatic and pretty, you know, interesting and outrageous what went on then. So
I don't follow the Bundy family very closely, but from what I've heard of them, they sound, at least occasionally, like fairly principled libertarians. They support Black Lives Matter and other cool things that you would expect, you know, principled people to support.
Good to know. I'm glad to hear that. No, I don't follow them closely either, but I am aware that they've been active in this sort of anti-masking, pro-freedom, facial freedom, whatever you want to call it, movement. And now the Los Angeles Times is reporting out of Idaho, which may be where he's based these days. 24 demonstrators pressed against the emergency room doors, screaming to be let in. "Show us the law," they chanted. "Let grandma out," one shouted. They had descended on Legacy Salmon Creek Medical Center in Vancouver, Washington, the evening of January 29th, to protest the quarantine of Gail Meyer, a 74-year-old patient. They drag the groups like this through the mud as much as they possibly can because they don't want to actually talk to them and ask them questions. They don't want to actually give this guy the opportunity to express himself.
Well, it's because the LA Times, like most media outlets, is 100% in favor of the state.
Sure.
And whatever the state decree religious... whatever the state religion decrees, which is, you know, wear a mask, respect authorities. And that's not what the Bundys are known for. Or any of these militia groups. The existence of these militia groups has always been stated to be to defend ourselves from aggression by the government. I don't think anyone has ever suggested they're for anything else.
Yeah, and I don't know if People's Rights is particularly a militia group exactly.
It sounds like it's a protest organization.
That's the way it sounds. I don't know if you've pulled up their website.
I did, but you have to join
Oh, really?
In order to access just about anything.
Oh,
so I'm going to pull it up on my phone and take a look at it. They do have a Telegram, so there's that.
"We have the potential for multiple malheurs in multiple states in that any moment they could bring hardened far-right activists, often heavily armed, into any one event." This according to Devin Burghardt, the executive director for the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights. So... yeah, they really don't like the idea that these people are armed, number one. That really seems to scare these folks.
I imagine it would scare the LA Times, but it doesn't give me any pause whatsoever. I feel safer when people around me are heavily armed.
Indeed, especially if they know what they're doing.
I did look into the People Rights Organization, and sadly, it doesn't seem that they use an app. It looks like they just use a web interface.
Oh.
So it's all done on their
website.
As
far as reporting where to gather?
Yes, and what's happening. It's cool that there are now 5 people in southwestern New Hampshire who have signed up.
Really?
And they're very privacy friendly. Mm-hmm. You have to have Signal in order to receive your code to create your account.
Neat.
And they have a Telegram, which is always good. And
nice.
It's got a messaging system that I haven't looked into that is supposedly encrypted as well, just sending messages to other users. So I have to say, so far, I'm impressed. And it sounds like if they want an app, they should contact Nobody and find a way of implementing Cell 411 into this.
I know that Nobody, our co-host, had the intention of reaching out to that group. So I don't know at what status he has reached out to them. I think he wants the app to be like in a usable state because we inherit, for listeners that don't know, Cell 411 is an app that was created probably like 2015 by actually a listener of Free Talk Live, Virgil Viduva. And he did an amazing job at making this great little simple, easy to use emergency alerts app where you can have your friends get the app and then you can all sort of create what they call cells. These aren't terrorist cells. They're peace cells. Going on here, he said he never supported President Trump and he didn't vote in the last 2 presidential elections. In 2016, he was in prison awaiting trial, and this past November, he didn't see a point. So, I mean, obviously he's not your typical... if he's a conservative, he ain't your typical conservative.
No, he is definitely closer to libertarian based on everything I've seen than he is conservative.
In contending the COVID-19 death toll is massively exaggerated, he said that Trump should have worked harder to keep churches and businesses open. Nonetheless, he encouraged his followers to go to Washington for the now infamous January 6th rally to distribute leaflets and display people's rights banners to recruit more members. He did say that he condemned the siege on the Capitol.
Was that because it was pointless and it didn't achieve anything? Or is it because just some angry Republicans role-playing as protesters?
Apparently, he was also arrested, according to a photograph here in this article. in the Idaho State House in Boise on August 26th of last year, was arrested and wheeled out in an office chair, or what appears to be a wheelchair here. So maybe doing a little civil disobedience, it looked like. Not sure what that was about. Bundy is carrying out a family tradition. He is the fourth of 14 children in a Mormon family. Grew up on a Nevada ranch. His 74-year-old father, Cliven, became a hero to extreme libertarians in the West.
Libertarians. That just sounds cool when they say it like that.
Bundy was arrested during a traffic stop outside of the refuge and eventually tried on weapons and conspiracy charges. A militant who fled the stop was shot and killed. That man had a name. I forget what it was offhand, but they're just referring to him as a militant. By the way, the man who fled the stop was not a danger to anyone. He did not shoot at anyone, but the cops murdered him.
Right there? For
yes.
Running away?
That's correct. In a startling verdict in October of 2016, Bundy and other defendants were acquitted by jurors who found that federal prosecutors had failed to make their case.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an amazing verdict, a series of verdicts, more than one.
Is there some documentary about this? Because it sounds like something I'd want to watch.
Yeah, good question. I don't know. The family's aura of invincibility only grew when a judge declared a mistrial in a criminal conspiracy case against Bundy, his brother Ryan, who we interviewed, and their father for the 2014 Nevada ranch standoff, saying government lawyers had suppressed evidence. The cattle outside of Bunkerville, Nevada, continue to graze on public land despite more than $1 million in unpaid fees. Bundy kept a low profile back in Idaho, where he managed rental properties and restored vintage vehicles with his children. But the pandemic and resistance to the government telling people what to do set the stage for his return to activism. I love it. You can't keep a good activist down.
Nope.
You know, once you've stood up for freedom, you don't ever want to, like, cower again.
Yeah, once you've told the state no, you want to keep telling it no.
That's right. These government bureaucrats think that they should just be able to keep their jobs separate from their home lives. They think that we should respect the idea that they should have privacy in their family lives, in their personal homes, and so on and so on, that they're off duty after 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Look, I will allow that if their laws will stop going into effect when they're at home.
Right.
When they're like, oh, no, I'm not the governor now. I'm just chilling with my family now. Okay, then your laws don't apply right now.
Yeah, as soon as they stop arresting people in their homes, as soon as they stop ruining people's lives by arresting peaceful people for not harming others, then I will respect them and leave them alone in their homes.
They enter people's homes just when they get a piece of paper from themselves saying that it's okay.
Correct. Yeah, a man in a robe writes a piece of paper, and then men with guns come in and ruin people's lives. Shoot dogs, shoot innocent, peaceful people.
They
throw
shoot cats, too.
Flashbangs into cribs. They shoot cats.
I just looked that up since you're here, Aria. They shoot cats, too.
What possible threat is a cat to a human being?
Well, they've shot caged dogs before, so, I mean, what possible threat could that have been?
I'm not liking cops any more the more this discussion goes on.
So people's rights continue to expand, establishing hundreds of chapters that Bundy organized with the aim of being able to dispatch 10 protesters to a scene in 10 minutes, 100 in 100 minutes, and 1,000 in 1,000 minutes.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Well, I heard earlier today that particularly, I mean, the most insane people, in my opinion, and I've been calling about this for over a year on how insane the left has been becoming, they're really angry that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Kansas City Chiefs over the weekend, and not because they like the Yucks, not because they think the Yucks are the better team, not because they support the Yucks in any measurable amount more than the Kansas City Chiefs, but only because Tom Brady, who is the quarterback, I guess, who at some point got traded to the Buccaneers, because he's white, and the quarterback for the Chiefs is black, and they're mad that the white quarterback beat the black quarterback. They're really offended about this.
Where are you seeing this? I haven't seen this.
Well, there's a Twitter storm that's been kicking up among some of the blue checkmark woke politic morons out there, including commentators like Lisa Hendricks and Michael Smith, Michael Holly, Deanna Vega.
I have no idea who any of these people are.
I wouldn't say that this reflects on all leftists. Just seems like you saw some crazy people talking on Twitter. Presumably, there's black and white people on both teams.
You read off some names from people that I've never heard of who sounds like they're saying some pretty stupid things.
If you want to find morons on Twitter, just search for double masking.
Yeah, there are certainly plenty there.
I think it's more interesting that nobody's wearing masks in Tampa all of a sudden. I have a friend from Italy, and she lived in Italy all of 2020, but she just moved to Florida. And she posted a video of herself at like a club or like a bar in Tampa, like the night of the Super Bowl. And she was panning around the room. It was just a bunch of young people all really close to each other, dancing and talking and drinking. And none of them, like there was like one mask in the entire video. I watched it over and over again.
I was stunned when I saw the ending of the Super Bowl because we watched it at work. And the number of people not wearing masks in their booths and as they mingled and they, you know, celebrated with people after the game. It was encouraging to see so few people wearing masks. I remember remarking at that moment, I bet this is already going viral on Twitter from people complaining about the fact that they're not wearing masks. That's what I expected people to be upset about, not the fact that Tom Brady is white and the other guy was black. That is of no consequence whatsoever, except to people who obsess over race and people who obsess over people who obsess over race.
Yeah, I'm just rolling through here looking at people talking about double masking and how proud they are about it.
It is definitely virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Vin Armani explains this rather well, as you found.
Yeah, Vin was the one who suggested searching for double masking in the first place. And as he points out on his Twitter, which is at Vin Armani, he says that double masking is a thing, helps you understand that you're dealing with a religious phenomenon. When masks become mandated, as they are in a lot of the United States right now and elsewhere in the world, wearing a mask is no longer a signal of Church of Woke membership. Therefore, the second mask must be added to signal willing participation. And indeed, when you see the people with the double masks, what you'll see in a lot of cases is that they will purposely wear contrasting masks. So they'll have like a white mask and then over top of a black mask or vice versa or something like that. That way you know that they're wearing two masks.
Yes, if they make it clear.
Right, because if they were wearing two of the exact same type of mask, you'd have to look kind of carefully. You'd have to really look at them to see if they were wearing two masks.
Somebody might not know how much they care.
Right, so it's important for them to signal that. And so.
This person on Twitter says, I can't believe some of y'all aren't triple masking yet. This is...
And this is serious, right?
Yes. These are people being totally serious. I've always been double masking, sometimes even triple masking. I prefer no masking.
I bet they weren't. I bet they've just been doing one mask. And they're like, I've always been triple masking.
Last month at the hospital protest in Vancouver, Washington, Kelly Stewart, the people's rights coordinator for the area, narrated a live stream video on Bundy's YouTube account that ultimately attracted more than 70,000 views. The video shows a protester trying to pry open the locked double doors and a deputy spraying chemical irritant in his face. The protesters cheered when the hospital released Meyer, whose tearful daughter wheeled her out and helped her into a van. Freedom, a man yelled. Stewart, a longtime Bundy compatriot, berated law enforcement for siding with the hospital instead of the protesters. She said that right-wing activists who joined Back the Blue rallies last summer and waved American flags with blue lines had been duped. Quote, we're starting to learn you're actually the standing army our founders warned us against. They're just dangerous tyrants, she said. We're having a blue line flag burning party tonight.
Yeah,
bravo.
Better late than never, for sure.
I love the, and I got to say, credit to Richard Reed, the author here. That's a great way to end that story.
Oh, that's the ending.
That's the ending, that they're going to burn the blue line flags.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's not a bad idea either, but I don't want to encourage the blue line flag people by buying them in order to burn them. But
that's
presumably they already had them.
There was a fellow named Watts, was Canadian, dug in deep into history. And Aldous Huxley and those fellas. And the brainwashing, the media, the sports is intended to be a distraction.
Oh, are you talking about 1984?
That would be Brave New World, I think. That was by
Huxley. Before that.
Oh.
Similar.
Alan Watts, he was Canadian, and he used to have a website, and he went over to England and read the history books, the books, not on the computer, read the books.
Isn't Alan Watts like a psychedelic guy?
Pardon me?
Isn't Alan Watts like a psychedelic sort of thought
leader? Something
in
the background there, Mike.
It's the same name, but a different person.
Different guy, okay. Well, there's no doubt that that the sports is definitely the part of the bread and circuses, right? To keep people distracted and keep them ignorant.
I don't know about that being the sole purpose of them. I mean, it's good to have some things that distract you from your daily life now and then.
I talked to Jeremy from Library over this weekend. They had the Porcupine Day festivities in New Hampshire on Saturday. Actually, Bonnie and I both went to. I took the night off from the show to go to this. This was the five-year celebration that the Free State Project held to sort of call a close to their five-year move window, because that started in February of 2016, so it is now over. That doesn't mean the Free State Project is over. They're going to continue recruiting people to migrate here, as I think that they should do. I used to think that they should shut down, but they were pretty persuasive that they've been doing really well in the last couple of years. Anyway, Jeremy Kaufman, who's the founder of Library, which is a decentralized blockchain-based video hosting service, which is an awesome thing, by the way, lbry.com. He was there, and I did speak with him. They are in the testing process of doing streaming on Library. And so, we're sort of on the short list of shows that they may be coming to. I mean,
and we
probably
wouldn't get kicked off, right?
I would hope that they wouldn't kick us off, because they came to us a long time ago about Library, and Free Talk Live is on Library, and Free Keen is on Library. So it seems like a no-brainer that we should also be streaming to their new website, which is called Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E. It's tough out there for a lot of radio station owners, although it's probably even tougher for the big mega corporations, because they already had huge debt loads that their companies were struggling to pay off prior to COVID. They were already, companies like iHeartMedia, which used to be known as Clear Channel, and Cumulus Media. These are two of the largest companies in America. Both of them have gone through bankruptcy proceedings in the last several years, last few years.
Does the government give them money to stay alive?
That's a good question. Honestly, I haven't heard about that happening. It wouldn't surprise me if they have, but for whatever reason, I haven't seen the news on that.
The story mentions that at some point. Mm-hmm. It says they filed for bankruptcy protection or something. I don't know exactly what that means. But it probably hasn't helped talk media that for the last year, one of the only things that we've really had to talk about has been the pandemic. Otherwise, news has been extraordinarily slow throughout the last year.
Yeah, and I hate it.
And people are probably sick of talking about it, sick of hearing about it.
I'm sick of it.
Daily commutes have been disrupted by stay-at-home orders and a new work-from-home culture, wiping out part of radio's lucrative, quote, drive-time audience. It's unclear whether those listeners will return after the pandemic subsides and traffic jams return.
Yeah, that is true. I saw the numbers about that NPR was publishing, that their radio listenership dropped by like 25%.
Facebook, they are really in a decline these days, man.
Good.
I've looked at the, I didn't like calculate it or anything, but since the first ban in October, not the first ban, but the ban in October shortly after the news about my campaign went viral, I have been unbanned exactly 13 days.
Are you banned right now?
Yes.
What's the latest one for?
This time, I don't know, man. I mentioned something about Bitcoin.
Okay.
And I put hashtag Bitcoin. And then
that should be safe.
You would think.
I mean, Elon Musk can do it.
Then suddenly I got banned within seconds, a post that I had made on December the 4th, more than a month before. So I don't know.
What was that about?
I don't recall.
Okay.
But
that's scary.
It's suspicious. The last time I was banned, it was because of something related to Bitcoin. And immediately afterward, I got hit with another 30-day ban. So it's hard to not even be upset anymore.
Now you can just do other things with your time.
Yeah. Well, I never use Facebook much anyway, right? Because every time I post, I end up getting banned no matter what it is that I post. It's stupid. I don't know why I keep doing it, except it's such a minuscule thing to me that, hey, if it works, I might as well say something there. And
maybe
then get
you
banned.
Just like being abused? I don't know.
Not by Facebook.
I don't know what you're into.
So the financial pressures on Cumulus and iHeart make them unlikely to invest in the one thing that might save political talk radio, local personalities.
Mm.
I tend to agree. I think the best thing they could do to save talk radio would be to actually stop censoring people, to actually create a platform that is known for being friendly to free speech and letting people speak their actual opinions.
We do that here.
We do, but we're one of the only ones who do. I mean, and we're not run by Cumulus and iHeartRadio,
well,
recently...
hold on. I want to give credit where credit's due. We are heard on Cumulus and iHeartMedia stations.
Yes.
So, I mean, they're not the majority of the stations that we're heard on, but we are heard on several of them.
Sure.
So, you know, that's good.
We're not owned by them in the sense that, you know...
And Cumulus, thank goodness, because Cumulus was in the news recently for telling its talk show hosts that they were not allowed to say, stop the steal on the air.
Right.
And so that was like the first time in my history of working in radio where I've ever heard a corporation coming down and telling its talk show hosts that they cannot cover a certain subject. That's pretty scary stuff.
So it's been noted that sports talk radio has fared relatively well with hometown personalities yakking about local teams, but hiring local hosts is an expensive proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.